with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker. Even if it's cold, that don't matter. Get out there and maybe even open a microbrewed beer, because that's what we're covering today, man. It's all about microbrewed beers. It's this time we do this every a couple times a year where we'll bring in the beer engineer. That's Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery. And Schmoe's has been with us for many, many years as a sponsor of the Grilling Guys, and we truly appreciate that. So from time to time, we draw on their expertise to come.
Well, I'm just happy to come in and drink with you.
Yeah, I understand. And I'm happy because you brought the beer.
Yeah.
So you know what? This is a match made in heaven, baby.
So we were covering some styles.
Right.
Kind of to transition along through that, we got through the malt forward stuff, and then there's the happy crossroads, the middle of the pack.
Okay.
That is one of my favorite beers at Schmoe's. It's Treasure Chest ESB.
Okay.
Extra special bitters. Everybody hears extra special bitters and thinks, ooh, it's going to be terribly bitter. Actually, it's not.
Okay.
It is where malt and hops cross.
Okay.
And they're balanced together. And the best ESBs, you can distinguish the hops and you can distinguish the malt, but they're equal. And so you get a very nice caramel flavor, but you still get a little hop character.
And isn't that extra special? Is that an English term, which means?
Not bitter.
Not bitter. Right.
Yeah.
So you've got your extra special bitter. It's a contradiction in terms, right?
Right.
But just remember that, because that's how I remember it, is extra special means less, not more.
Right.
Right.
And it's just an English thing. And
right.
Because so much of our brewing heritage came out of Europe, that's where we went.
Sure.
The next step to migrate along would be into the pale ales.
Okay.
And that's where we start getting hop forward.
Mm-hmm.
As you get into those hops, it's going to give a little bit more bitiness. It's going to give a little bit more floral nature to it. It could be a dry hop, a piney hop. There's 400 different varieties of hops. So you can engineer up anything you want out of a beer. And then the next step is to go up into the IPAs, the India Pale Ales, which are the extreme hop end of it. And subcategories of that are endless of all the different sub-styles of IPA that are out there.
Right. And most of the microbrewers out there fancy themselves with their IPA. And why is that? I mean,
well,
none of them talk about their malt-forward stuff. Everybody wants to talk about, you got to try my IPA.
Sadly, the world loves acronyms.
Sure.
And IPA is the one thing that most people remember when they
talk about microbrew. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's one of those IPAs because it's so different than the others. I mean, we've been the stouts. Guinness has been with us forever.
Right.
I think this year's their 200th anniversary or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So it's fairly common, but IPAs were the new front, and that's a buzzword that people latch onto.
Right.
But there's so much you can do with it, with the hops and really putting it in your face, that everybody talks about it, and that becomes a thing.
Right.
And we have several pale ales and IPAs available at Schmoe's, and they are some of our biggest sellers.
Okay. And just because I think that for me, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it was an acquired taste. Okay. When I was the Labatt guy, and I drank a lot of Labatts, right? It was my go-to. I had it in the house all the time. And I remember the first time I met Bobby, came over, I'm in my bar downstairs, and I open up my fridge and I got, 100 Labatts and this little stash of stuff that people have left at my house called craft beer. And I was like, you don't want any of that. And he's like, that's exactly what I want, right? So there began the journey. But when I'm looking at, I'm back to the counter, I'm back to the window, okay? Give me the three or four styles that I'll see most. And then there's these things called IBUs and ABV. Another acronym, and explain how those relate as I go up and down the
Well, when I'm bartending, one of the first things I ask people, there's kind of crosshairs that I use.
Okay.
are you malty or hoppy kind of person? That's going to give me one axis. The other one, light or dark.
Okay.
Because that's going to be the simplest terms that I can talk to somebody in.
Okay.
And when they tell me, you know, I'm, you know, maybe two-thirds hoppy, and but I like the darks, I can direct them over into a beer that's going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
The little bit more educated consumer, you can start talking to them about yeasts. You know, are you a strictly a lager guy? Are you a Pilsner style? Are you a stout? Are you ale, strict ales? Are you?
And the yeast impacts all of those varietals.
Oh, it very much contributes to them.
Okay.
It is really the three pieces that have to go together, the malt, the hops, and the yeast, to build the style. But when a consumer knows a little bit more about it, they're going to say, oh, I love Belgian beers.
Right.
Well, that's going to help the shopkeeper take you to the Belgian section. Or I'm into, you know, robust imported stouts or flavored stouts or, you know, wheat beers with fruit in them.
Right.
You, any information you can give them is very helpful. Now, the one I hate and most of us hate to hear is, oh, I drink everything. What do you recommend?
Yeah, right.
Well, like you said, my friends over at Siciliano's, they've got, I think it's closer to 1,000 different beers in there.
Right. It's amazing.
Schmoe's, I got 16 taps plus a couple extra things in the cooler. It is a big world. And, you know, if you force me to choose, being the beer engineer, I'm probably going to go to inventory and say, what do I got to move? the more information you can give me, you know, what was the last beer you drank that you really loved?
Right.
Associate it to something else, because a lot of us drink a lot of things and we know those things.
Right.
If you're going shopping to the store, you could tie in the food thing.
Right.
Hey, I'm grilling fish tonight. I got some slabs of salmon, or I'm frying fish.
Right.
Those are two different beers.
Right.
If I'm going to be cutting the prime rib, I'm thinking one thing. But if I'm just going to sear off a quick ribeye, that's a different game.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm going down the vegetarian path.
Bob's not here this week.
Oh.
Okay. So we're off the healthy January.
All right.
All right.
Every bit you can give in information is going to help that person, help you select the right beer.
Right.
And then you get a beer you're really going to enjoy. Now, a lot of the places like Siciliano's and the other markets around have these great opportunities to build your own six pack.
Right.
And that's can huge. Be a lot of fun.
That's huge, because here's the opposite side of that. I make a commitment to one of these and I buy six, and it might be $12-13 in a store for a six pack of microbrewed beer, but it's worth it.
You get into the big ones.
But you walk out of there with it, and if you crack it when you get home and you take that first couple sips and you're like, "Ow, that one's not working for me." That's how I got that little stash in the back of my fridge.
Yeah.
Right? Where now I can go to the retailers and they let me pick and choose and try.
And you find something you like.
Six. Right.
Go back and get a whole six of it.
Right.
That's
so,
a great way to do it.
So in the next segment, I want to touch on the IBUs and the ABVs, because those are a couple more acronyms that I believe will help the average consumer find the right beer. It's a tool, right? It's not the end all, but it's a tool. And then I really want to talk about, which something I know you're really, really good at, and that is pairing beer with food. I've watched you do this with restaurant chefs. I've watched you do it just out back on the patio at the brewery, and you're good at this. And I can tell you, it's just like wine, is if you put the right beer with the right food, you end up with a really cool experience.
It's just like putting the right seasoning on the right piece of meat.
Right. Because this is messing with your palate, it's messing with your taste buds, and your you know, I believe truly that we see it first, we smell it second, and we taste it third. And you take a little bit of the visual out, but you still pour that in a glass. It's going to look cool. You can tell if it's cloudy, if it's clear, if it's dark, if it's light. That sets your mind up for something. Then you take a whiff of it, then you get the taste, and it's like, oh, I get this. So, Chaz, I'm challenging you with the pairing with the food of the different styles. Stick with us. We'll be back.